This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Author and New Yorker magazine staff writer Malcolm Gladwell has this thing he does with his books. He takes ideas, or sometimes what's considered conventional wisdom, and he turns it inside out, rolls it around, and finds a twist or an angle that makes you think about things differently. The Tipping Point, Outliers, and his latest, David and Goliath. It's about why underdogs can win if they realize they're not really underdogs. Malcolm, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
Why did you want to write about underdogs?
Because we're obsessed with them, first of all. Why do we return again and again to the subject of seemingly lopsided conflicts? So one, I wanted to sort of explain that obsession. And two, I thought that the ways in which we misread these conflicts are symptomatic of something deeper, which is I don't think that we have a good sense of what an advantage really is, or a disadvantage. We have those categories mixed up, and I wanted to kind of sort through them and say, you know, things that we've thought were real advantages actually aren't, and things that we think of as overwhelming obstacles actually are incredibly useful.
Pick up on that for a second, and I want you to do it with the story of David Boies. For those who don't know, he's one of the top trial lawyers in this country. He was involved in the gay marriage decision and Microsoft. I mean, he is a lawyer's lawyer. And,
yes.
And yet you found and write about this obstacle that he has.
So here we have one of the greatest lawyers in the country, and he is profoundly dyslexic. He reads basically one book a year. He finds reading difficult and painful. Now, think about that for a moment. He's a lawyer. Yeah. He's in a profession that has reading at its absolute core, right? And so when I talked to him, I said, well, how did you become such a successful lawyer in spite of this disability? And he said, not in spite. I became a successful lawyer because of this so-called disability. And he explained to me how he spent his life compensating for this. He learned how to listen, and he also developed an extraordinary memory. So he would sit in school, later in law school, but he would sit in school and he didn't take notes because it was pointless. What he did is he sat and listened to the teacher and remembered everything that was said. Those two skills turned out to be far more useful than you'd think in getting through school. But more importantly, when he becomes a trial lawyer, what's being a great trial lawyer all about? Well, in part, it's about listening very, very closely to what the person you're cross-examining or whatever you're doing with is saying, and then being able to summon that in the moment. So he's famous for confronting the witness and saying, well, 3 days ago in cross-examination, you said the following thing, right? He'd been working on those skills his entire life.
And yet David Boies, you in the last part of the chapter about him, he has two children who are who are dyslexic. And he talks about the emotion of watching them struggle. And that to me is the thing that's different about this book than other Gladwellian books, is that there's an emotional part of this, you know, the disadvantage and the obstacles, you know?
Yeah, every other successful dyslexic I talked to said that even though they consider their own success a function of their dyslexia, would never wish that disability on any of their own children. And that's a big theme of my book, that we owe so much to what people learn in overcoming adversity. And yet, that does not mean we should romanticize adversity at all.
There is, and you'll I apologize for using this phrase, there is a tipping point when an underdog becomes the favorite, becomes the Goliath. You know, when Microsoft started, it was this little two-man shop in, where was it, Albuquerque, hustling for contracts. And now look at it. Where's that balance, and how do you figure it out, and how crucial is that?
Oh, it's such a great question. One, by the way, which I don't really get into in this book.
Right, which is why I'm asking you about it.
Yeah, and I should, you know, either I should or I should do a sequel.
Yeah.
Because it's a great question. I talk about these categories as if they're static, and they're not. Microsoft is a great example. Was a classic underdog. You know, did all kinds of, was nimble, fast-moving, audacious, all the things that underdogs are, they are not anymore. They are now a massive Goliath encumbered by all of the weaknesses of giants, right? Slow-moving, lumbering, lacking
the
imagination.
Whole deal. Yeah.
It's very difficult for individuals or institutions who were once David to understand that they are no longer Davids. in the present world where adapting to new changes in technologies quickly and effectively is so important, what's wrong with being smaller? Isn't that an advantage?
The most recent book by Malcolm Gladwell is called David and Goliath. Malcolm, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you so much, Guy.
If you know Malcolm Gladwell at all, you know the original interview went way longer than that. We've got the whole thing online, marketplace.org.